Hello and welcome to Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, your number one podcast for women reclaiming their life by healing mother wounds and stepping into their power. In this episode, you will learn the 10 signs to recognize the kind of perfectionism that holds you back in life and where it comes from. Listen to the end to get the two steps you can take from now to start overcoming this pattern. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women reclaiming their fullness through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. A couple of days ago, I was thinking about what episode to do for this week, what would be the perfect episode, and I had none. So the word perfectionism came to mind. And let me ask you, is perfectionism something you suffer with and you struggle with? Does it take you forever to do certain things, wanting them to be perfect? Do you get very upset if the result is not absolutely perfect? Or if someone does it better than you, does that bother you very much? Perfectionism can be the cause of intense anxiety, very unhealthy level of being competitive, procrastination, difficulty in making decisions, high levels of self-criticism, and overall a lot of suffering we could definitely do without. And this episode is for those of you, and I am one of you in this. I've been a perfectionist for most of my life. And that has held me back in many, many situations. So I really get it if that's something that you struggle with. But this episode is for those of us who have struggled with perfectionism and is holding us back. So there, and I will speak to that in a moment. There is also the kind of perfectionism that can be sort of driven by ambition and by a wanting to succeed that is actually energizing and that is actually making us feel great about things. That's a different sort of stuff. That's good. That makes you move forward in life in a really wonderful way. The perfectionism we're talking about today is the one that holds you back, okay? The one that's causing you to actually suffer in life. So what does perfect mean? Does it mean being like your mother? Or does it mean being the opposite of your mother? Does it mean great achievements in your career? Or maybe in family life? Does it mean writing the perfect podcast episode? What is it? We all have a different version of what perfectionism means. The conclusion I personally came to in my own life is that this idea of perfect is all BS. I have asked myself, what is the gain in constantly looking for perfection but actually not living life while I'm constantly looking for perfection? And the answer I got was suffering upon suffering, because that's what actually my life looked like. If there was a lot of suffering, a lot of things I really wanted to do in life and I wasn't doing because of this idea of first I had to be perfect in order to do them, the things that I did had to be perfect in order to be put out into the world, and so I delayed my own life by always needing things to be perfect before I actually lived. And if you're resonating with this experience, you can share it in the comment, and if you are, I really, really get it. There's a little but very important differentiation we need to bring at this point. As I mentioned earlier, there's the kind of perfectionism that comes from high aspiration and that fuels great results. And that is great. That is gonna make you feel energized. That's the type of perfectionism that someone that wants to perfect their craft and become better and better at what they're doing, there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually really beautiful. It's what, I mean, drives great artists to make like wonderful masterpieces, what drives like amazing chef to create such incredible meals, and so on. It doesn't matter in which aspect of life we go really into a craft and just get it to as close to perfection as we can, because perfect, there isn't actually a point where we reach perfect. You can always expand and grow more and learn more. So there isn't actually, this idea of perfection is a little bit of a myth really, but we can get to as close to perfect and keep improving. So that is beautiful, and that is going to allow you to feel inspired and ever expanding and energized. And then there's the kind of perfectionism that ultimately comes from shame, and this is the one that fuels suffering. Okay, and this is the one that I want to talk about today. And how can we tell the difference? The major difference is that one is going to make you feel good, really good. It comes with like a full embodied good feel experience of passion, energy, and you're not actually so worried ultimately about the result. It's you are focused on the growth, on the process, on the learning. It's an overall really good experience. The other one feels the exact opposite. It's based on fear, feels exhausting. It's driven by fear and anxiety. And instead of focusing on the process, we're constantly focused on the end result, and we're never happy with it. Because ultimately, as we said, perfect is not something you can achieve, really, realistically speaking, because perfect doesn't exist. And so we're constantly chasing something unachievable, which is very self-defeating and exhausting. So what I want to give you here are 10 signs. And with these 10 signs to recognize this second kind of perfectionism, the one that's not helpful, I'm also giving you a question that goes with the sign, so you can ask yourself that question, reflect on that, and see if you're answering yes or no to it. Be very honest with yourself. This is not about judging yourself. This is actually about learning if this is a pattern that's active in your system or not, because once you learn that it is, you can then become aware and then start shifting it with the two steps I'm going to give you at the end of the episode. So here are the 10 signs with the 10 questions. Number one of the signs is having a strong inner critic, and a very nasty one at that. Okay, an inner voice that judges you all the time, criticizes you a lot. So the question is, do you judge yourself based on the perfection of your results? And this can be in any aspect, okay? So we're not talking necessarily about career. This could be in family. This could be in anything. This could actually be also on your self-growth and your healing, because perfectionism can end up holding you back there as well. If you think you should be in a certain way, or you should have gotten to a certain amount of healing by now, and all of that. So it doesn't matter where you apply this. So do you judge yourself based on the perfection of your result? That's your first question to reflect on. Number two, low self-esteem. That is one of the characteristics of people that are striving for this kind of perfectionism that holds us back. And the question is, do you feel your worth is very connected to the results that you get? Meaning you're worth what you can achieve rather than who you are. Number three, being highly competitive. As I said, level of competitiveness that is not actually healthy. I'm not here saying that competition between people is a negative thing. Like, I mean, if you're into sports, of course, you're in like a healthy level of competition. You want to win the damn thing. That's okay. But here we're talking about that kind of competition that makes you suffer, makes you want to put other people down, makes you judge other people, and gets you very upset if you don't win and all of that kind of stuff. So do you compare yourself to others' results and beat yourself up when yours are lower? That's your question for that. Number four, high reactivity. And your question is, do you get upset if someone points out something that could be improved in what you've done? So if you've worked for a certain result and then you get someone that has a different opinion, someone that tells you maybe you could have done better, and all of that, does that get you extremely defensive and upset? Number five, results over process. Do you get stressed in the process of doing something, only wanting to get to the result? Do you get very upset if the result is not the best? So it's like this very much result focus rather than actually enjoying the entire process. You know, you could be doing an amazing, cooking an amazing meal, but you just want that meal to be perfect and the cooking process is stressing the hell out of you. That kind of example, okay? Number six, fear as motivation. Are you afraid to fail? When we're coming out of fear, we're really afraid to fail. We're doing things out of fear of failure rather than for the joy of doing the things that we're doing. Number seven, setting unrealistic goals. So do you set goals that are super high to the point that you soon feel defeated and abandon the project? And this can be a point that's actually really hard to admit. So I want you to really feel into that and be very, very honest with yourself. It wasn't easy for me to admit, but I definitely have done that very, very often. Sort of like, I'm only going to do a podcast if I can reach 1 million listens in a month. You know, it has to be the absolute best. Well, I'm never going to start because that's unrealistic. That's never going to happen. Can I have a goal that I want to reach 1 million listens? Of course, but it's going to take a certain amount of time. And if I don't enjoy the process, when I'm never going to reach those numbers. Because that's the wrong motivation to go with, because it's not helpful. It's not going to help me. So that's what I'm talking about unrealistic goals. It's okay to be ambitious and to set high goals for yourself. But when we go into the realm of making them so high, that is like a self-defeating process. That's where it doesn't help anymore. Number eight, procrastination. Do you often feel that what you're doing is not good enough yet, and so you're not putting it out there, or that you are not good enough to do what you would like to do, so why bother, and you just delay it? Like, again, I can use the podcast as an example because that's my thing at the moment, but, you know, wanting to be like a crazy expert, having done a lot of courses, having read so many resources before I even dare to start. Rather than actually, yes, of course, prepare, but also learn as you go along. A perfectionist that is held back by the perfectionism doesn't start something unless they are sure that it's going to be perfect. And that's where that kind of procrastination comes in. Number nine, comparisons. Do you compare yourself to others, wanting to put them down? You know, compare to others, but also judge them really harshly in the process? Or do you feel defeated by their achievements? So if you see someone that's doing what you want to do, but you feel that they're doing it better than you, well, then that kind of defeats you because someone has already achieved what you believe is perfection, so you can't achieve it anymore, so why bother? And number 10, being a sore loser. Do you get very upset if someone seems to be doing better than you? And I know that these questions are challenging, are very, very challenging. Because when we sit in front of these questions and we actually start answering, oh, yes, that's me. That can be intense. And it definitely was for me, but also very helpful. So if you've answered yes to most of the questions, then you may have a pattern of perfectionism active in your system that is holding you back in life. And again, I have definitely answered yes to pretty much all of these for most of my life, so I really get it. As always, be very, very kind with yourself. That inner critic wants to rear the head and go, well, you're not perfect, obviously, because look at the amount of things that you need to work on. That's not the point of this exercise. The point is to actually start becoming aware that that's a thing so that you can gently shift this pattern, but not because you need to be fixed or because you're faulty or because there's something wrong with you, but because it is holding you back in life. And you could live a way, way, way happier life without this holding you back. It has taken me years to finally put out my first novel on Wattpad. I have fell again and again in the trap of perfectionism is being literally years in the making and never perfect enough to be put out there. And I had comparing myself with other authors and all sorts of stuff that was holding me back constantly. It's out now. And I will actually put the link in the description of this episode. It's free to read on Wattpad, which is a platform where you can go and read stories that authors like me publish for free. And if you could show it some love, I would definitely appreciate that. So you're welcome. It's a romance, nothing to do with maternal narcissism, although it is mentioned a little bit in it. But yeah. So that aside, that was like a little bit of a side note. Where does perfectionism come from? This pattern of perfectionism is rooted in shame. Okay, so again, we're not talking about that kind of striving to improve your craft, aspiration, and feeling energized and passionate about something. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the perfectionism that is rooted in shame. And you may say at this point, what do you mean shame? I don't feel any shame. And that's okay. I didn't know how to recognize the shame I carried for a very long time. So if you can't feel and recognize that that's at the root of it, that's okay. Let me ask you, how do you feel when you make a so-called mistake? What happens in your body? What's that feeling? You know, that sinking feeling of, oh, I made another mistake. That feeling that just drags you down and you just want to beat yourself up forever. That's shame. Do you consider things not coming out as expected a failure? You know, when you're looking at something you've done and it just feels like you're a failure, you've failed again, that's shame. Do you ever tell yourself you should know better or you should do better? That judgmental voice that comes up in your head, that's rooted in shame. Do you apologize over and over when you feel you've done something less than perfect? You know, like you've cooked something for your family, but it didn't come out quite as perfect as you wanted, and you're saying sorry to them 20 times, although they are actually appreciating it anyways. That feeling that makes you say sorry so many times, that's shame. All of that comes from deeply rooted shame, and it manifests with beliefs such as, your worth is measured by your success. You are a good person only if you meet certain needs. Your lack and flaws will make people reject you. You are what you do and achieve. These beliefs, which are very unhelpful, but they're there. If you're struggling with perfectionism that is holding you back in life, those beliefs are at the root of it. That you're lovable and worth only based on what you're achieving in life, and that people will reject you if you don't meet a certain set of standards and criteria. And these beliefs are developed growing up with emotionally immature, unsafe, and or narcissistic parents. And that's why we're talking about this here today. When you identify with what you can achieve, with what you achieve and do, like, for example, I am a mother, I am a coach, I am a high achiever, I am a perfectionist, because we can identify with that too, and so on, I'm a great cook. Those descriptives become you. What follows is that you need to be perfect at those things, or your identity falls. So if my entire identity is around being the perfect mother, and if I'm not, then my entire identity crumbles. And that's intense. If you don't meet the standards, your identity becomes the one of a bad, faulty failure. So you need to be a perfectionist in order to maintain the standards, because your identity depends on it. And why is this part of your life? Like, maybe your mother told you this outright. Maybe she told you you had to be perfect. Maybe she raised you that way. Or maybe she constantly judged others and you've heard her again and again judging others. And so you learned that not to be judged by her, you needed to be perfect. Maybe you are the golden child, like I have been. And she imposed extremely high standards on you as she lived through your achievements. And so you've learned that you had to be perfect in order to be loved. That you were loved for your achievements and not loved for who you actually are. So what is the medicine for this? I'm not going to share some fancy tools today with you. I'm not going to share some big mad journaly techniques or anything like that. But what I'm going to share with you today is something that works. The thing that has worked for me and still does when perfectionism comes up in my system, and that has also worked with many clients too. And it is reclaiming your identity beyond what you do and achieve. It's you are not what you do and achieve, you are you. There's a space. You can still achieve and do amazing things. You can still be a great mother. You can still be a great cook. You can still be a great coach. You can still be whatever. But that's what you are doing. It's not who you are. Who you are is you. I'm not a coach. I am me. And I also happen to work as a mentor for women. I'm not a podcaster. I am me, and I also happen to run a podcast. Does that make sense? So how do we make that space? This is where the two steps that I was talking about at the beginning of the episode come in. So step one, it's becoming very conscious of the I am statements that you use. Okay? Anytime you use I am and something else attached to it, you're claiming it as part of your identity. You're identifying with that. That is why in positive psychology we use affirmations such as I am healthy, I am happy, I am calm, I am relaxed. I don't use that very much. Positive affirmations has not been a thing that has necessarily worked for me because sometimes it lacks the embodied part and it's purely a rational thing. But that's not to say that it can't be used in certain situations, and if it has worked for you, that's great. But that's why, that kind of like the reason why it does work to a degree, that I am and something else, when you claim it, it becomes part of your identity. If you claim it for long enough. The thing is that we usually tend to claim for very, very long things that we don't want to have in our identity, but we just claim them anyways for lots of different reasons, which I won't go into now. But how many times do we say, oh, I am depressed. I am useless. I am shit at doing this thing. I am never gonna be great at that. But we also use them with I am, and we identify with the job that we do maybe, or I am, and we identify with the role. I'm a wife, I'm a mother. And you can fill that gap with whatever you want. But so becoming conscious of the I am statements that you use. So for me, yes, there is a power in claiming that I am an author when I want to ground myself in the fact that I'm no worse than anyone else. I have written books and I am actually an author. But at the same time, if I use that as the definition of myself constantly, and I use I am statements in that sense all the time, that becomes my identity. So if some of you go on Wattpad and read my novel and think it's absolute crap, which is okay, and then you leave a comment that tells me that my novel is absolute crap, and I'm identifying with being an author 100%, I will suffer massively for that. Because you're attacking my identity rather than just a book that I've written. So that's why when we identify, so I'm not here telling you to necessarily correct your I am statements, but become aware, because there's information there that tells you what you do identify as. And so that can give you powerful information as to what you actually believe somewhere, maybe in your subconscious, that is the part of you that's actually worthy of love. And that's what drives the perfectionism. You know, wanting, if the only way I get love from the world is through my books or through this podcast, whatever it is, if that's the only way I'm worthy of any love, then I'm going to obviously want to make it perfect, because that's the only way I'm going to get love. And that's not very helpful, and it's not going to set the foundations for a happy life. So being conscious of your end statements is your step one. Step two is a very simple one, but it's so potent. And it's like a mantra. So these two little words put together, I want you to make it your mantra. And it's the two words are, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to feel the way you're feeling. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to learn from your experiences. It's okay. It's okay. Whenever the inner critic comes up, whenever you feel the pull of perfectionism, tell yourself that it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay to have made a mistake. Mistakes are powerful learning experiences. It's okay to be tired and needing some rest instead of pushing further. It's okay if it's not perfect. Done, it's better than perfect. It's okay. You're lovable and wonderful because you are you, not because of what you do. It's also okay to be scared to be rejected, but you don't have to follow that voice. It's okay. Those two little words, which are, I suppose, technically three, but put together, it's okay. It's actually a form of mothering yourself. That is mother energy. That is what you didn't get from your narcissistic mother when you were a child, because your narcissistic mother judged you, criticized you, put you down, pushed you, made you into a great high achiever at the cost of your happiness and all of that, rather than just when you made a mistake, which is normal as a kid because you're learning, give you a hug and tell you it's okay. And that's an important part that your system didn't get at any stage of your development, that it's okay. Now here we're not talking about mollycoddling and making weak human beings. We're actually talking about that very essential nourishing part that a mother gives to her child when it's in a healthy mother-child relationship. And that actually builds great strength, confidence, and character. But we didn't get that. We got the opposite of it. So when you start telling yourself it's okay, you're not being softy with yourself. You're actually gifting that part of you, that mother energy that's needed. And that will create the space to actually achieve great things. And you also might say to me, but that's lying to myself. I don't believe it's okay. I actually get extremely frustrated, I get critical, I get upset, blah, blah, blah. Neither did I. I did not believe it was okay at all when I started telling myself that it's okay. But keep telling yourself it's okay until your body starts receiving it, because it will. Until your nervous system goes, yes, it's okay. I'm actually doing okay. That's important. And it's going to get to that. It's going to get to that. That's going to build that safety in your nervous system to actually gently place a little bit of space between you and these achievements and the possible achievements. And it's going to bring you back to a place where slowly but surely you're safe to enjoy the process. You are safe to actually make mistakes and learn from them. You're safe to experience. You're safe to look at someone doing something better than you and go, good for them. You know what? That's awesome. I love that you're doing it so great. You're actually inspiring me rather than wanting to put them down. So the two steps, be conscious of the I am statements that you use and start telling yourself it's okay. And if you have a moment to spare and you feel like following the link and going on Wattpad to check out my romance novel, You're super welcome to it. And I will love reading your comments. And yes, with that, I am sending you so much love. I wish you a wonderful week. Share in the comments here your experience with perfectionism. If I've left something out, if you have questions. And yeah, have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye for now.